Good morning. Well, it's a fun morning. It's a good morning. Confirmation of our young students today. And we are going to take a look at Colossians chapter 2. So I invite everyone and our guests here today and members to go to page 1833 in the Bible in the row in front of you. Page 1833. Whenever we have confirmation, historically at our Shepherd, we celebrate this on the festival day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the day that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came as Jesus promised with physical manifestations. We were told in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit was shown by a great strong wind that was blowing in the building where the believers were gathered, and then the apostles started speaking in tongues, in other languages that they had never known. Excuse me. So, as a result, many people that saw these things came to faith in Jesus Christ, and the church was built up massively by thousands of conversions on that first Pentecost day. We commemorate Pentecost, and we remember the work of the Holy Spirit on that day, and we have new artwork here that's just been put up for us for this season of the church year for Pentecost. And you can see two of the symbols for the Holy Spirit. One is the dove. The rough outline of the flames forms a dove, which is facing downward here. And then also the tongues of fire that bring back to our memory is what happened in Acts chapter 2. So it's an appropriate time for us to have young people confessing their faith publicly because this faith has been worked in them through the Holy Spirit. So it's a great morning for that. God's given us a beautiful day. It's a perfect celebration day for our young people. And in order to get us thinking about their faith and growing and the work of the Holy Spirit, we're going to take a look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Excuse me, I try to get my voice cleared here. Verse 6, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We're going to think about those two verses. And in order to have an illustration for us this morning, I have a cactus, which will be our visual illustration as we think about these verses. But I wanted to go one step further. So this morning, we will have individual, personalized illustrations for our confirmands. So, I don't know how I'm going to get this off without killing myself. All right, there's one. These are actual living cacti. They have been carefully selected for our confirmands. These cacti represent your personalities. This one is yours. This one is yours. And this one is yours. And now they're thinking, how does that represent my personality? Now, we are thinking about our cacti. The cactus is not the most beautiful plant in the world. Many would suggest that it's fairly homely, fairly plain. After all, it's green and it has spikes. There are many more beautiful plants in the world. lilies and snapdragons and all of these other fantastic flowering plants. And then there is the humble cactus. I would like to suggest that there will be times in your life where you will think you are like a cactus. Or you will think, I wish I was more beautiful. I wish I were more intelligent. I wish I made more money. I wish that I could meet someone fantastic and fall in love. And so on and so forth. And you might be tempted to think that God has made your life drab, plain, boring. Okay? Well, that might be true in some respects, okay? You might not be the most beautiful person, and you might not be the most intelligent or the most socially accepted, but the fact is that God has made you unique as you are, as is evidenced by your own personal cacti. And he loves you as his creature, as his creation. Now, one thing that is certainly true is that you have a great advantage over the basic plant because you have a much larger brain than the basic plant. That's a compliment, actually. In verse 6, it tells you, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, there is one crucial difference that is to distinguish people from plants and animals, and that is that we have a brain that God has given us so that we could be made in the image of God, so that we can commune with him, so that we can be in a relationship with him unlike any other creatures. In fact, your poor little cactus cannot be in true communion with God because it does not have a brain that he has given you in order to do one very important thing, and that is in verse 6, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You will always be valuable, you will always be important to God because you are a person who has received Jesus Christ as your Lord. So you're no longer in rebellion with God, you're not resisting him, you're not fighting him, you're in communion with God. And that's been made possible through Jesus Christ. So, even if you are kind of plain-looking, or even if you are not really intelligent, hyper-smart and all that, you are in communion with God, and you've received his Son, Jesus Christ. That makes you extremely precious to God. And I would like to give the invitation to everyone else here that the Scriptures ask us all to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Our Savior Jesus came in order to offer us eternal life through him, and that if you've not done so yet, you also can have the assurance of life everlasting through Christ. And all it takes is humbling yourself, admitting you're a sinner and that you need him, and that you would like him to be your Lord and Savior, and to give your life to him for the future. And as a result, that makes you beautiful in ways that no plant or no animal will ever be. Your faith in the Lord is a precious thing to him. And so he sees you as a fantastically important and beautiful person because of your faith. Now, something else we want to discuss here that pertains to our plants this morning is that it says in verse 7, Paul is encouraging the people in Colossae, and I'm encouraging us this morning, to stay rooted in Christ. You see in verse 7 it says, continue to live in him rooted. And I just want to stop for a second and refer back to our plants again and say, we do not typically see plants floating in midair drawing sustenance from air and sunlight. They have to be rooted. They have to be in the ground in order to get their nutrients. Well, in the same way, God has put us in our position in life, in our place in life, where we have to draw strength. You know, sometimes when people talk about moving across the country, going to a different location, they settle and then they talk about putting down roots. That means growing and getting accustomed to the new place and getting familiar with it so that it feels like your home and that you're going to stay there a while and be blessed in that area. You may find in life, as you get older, as you grow, that the place where God puts you, whether it's here in Milwaukee, or maybe as you get older, if you continue on to school, or if you marry someone and relocate and go to a different part of the country, you might find that the soil, so to speak, the conditions in which you're living, the place where you're living, might be quite different. You'll be in a home that's quite different than the home you grew up in. You'll be in maybe a place in our world, maybe not even in the United States. You might be overseas or something like this. And the soil, the place where you're at, might be quite different. And you have to be open to God moving you wherever He wishes. But there's an interesting thing about cacti, and that is they don't seem to have really great soil. You know, when you go out west and you see cacti growing, the soil's not really that great. It's certainly not as good as the nice, rich, brown soil in the Midwest and the farming regions, very rich with their nutrients. And we can grow all kinds of things like wheat and corn and canola and stuff like this. Where's cactus growing? In kind of a rocky, dry environment. It's really tough and challenging. But the cactus seems to do okay there. You know, this reminds me also of a biblical illustration that Jesus used in John chapter 15. He talked about, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He was referring to the grapevine. One time when I went out to California, I got to tour some of the wineries in California and some of the vineyards. And I was very surprised by the fact that vines in Napa Valley and vineyards across the world also have very poor quality soil. You would think that for grapes and vines to get the best result, you would want them to be in perfectly dark, rich soil so it would be able to make nutrients readily available for these vines? And the answer is no. In fact, I was told that the reason the vines produce such sweet, succulent grapes is because of the work and the energy that the vine has to use in order to grow, and the worse the soil, the worse the conditions, relatively speaking, the better and sweeter the grapes are going to be. That if they take the vines and stick them in perfectly nice, easy-growing soil, you don't get as sweet of grapes. We need to keep that in mind when we think of the vine, as Jesus talked about, or with your cactus. It grows in difficult soil. The analogy for your lives is this. God might put you in difficult situations sometimes. In life, you might not always have it easy going and easy growing. As such, God is going to make you work. He's going to force you to grow. And you're going to have trials and tests. You're going to have difficulties, and in the process, God's going to be watching to see how you're strengthened and how you grow in faith. He doesn't want to make it just super easy on you. He is looking for you to mature and be strengthened, and He's going to give you the conditions and the circumstances to force you to do that because He loves you and He wants you to develop as His disciple. Something else is important, considering the soil. Thinking now of the soil as where we get our spiritual strength from. A plant doesn't have a whole lot of choice in where it grows. Once the seed hits the spot where it starts getting attached and germinated, that's it. For better or for worse, whether the climate's good or poor, that's the final spot of that plant, and it grows there its entire existence. It doesn't decide, well, you know what, I'd like to relocate to somewhere sunnier, so I'm going to get up and walk about two states over. It doesn't do this kind of thing. The plant has one location, not you. As we said, you will have options of moving around in life. You may live all over the place before your life is done. You can change jobs. You can go to different states. You can go back to school. You'll have a lot of variety of choices available to you. Take note of this. The more you move around and the more your life changes, the easier it is to get detached from God. You want to be careful to take the soil with you. Know what I'm talking about? This is the soil. This is your spiritual base that you grow in, the Word of God. So you want to be careful to play Christian music, to attend a church nearby you. You want to be careful to have devotional time. You want to give God a chance to continue feeding your spirit, your faith, and growing you. The beautiful thing about this is that that soil, the Word of God, isn't just located here in Greendale, Wisconsin. It's located all over the world because God's Word is transportable. You can take it with you. You can take it on an iPod. You can take it on CDs. You can take it in book form. You can listen to it on the radio. God's Word, which gives your faith strength, is available to you anywhere. Make sure you've got it, and make sure you're listening to it and working through it, because that's what's going to keep your faith growing. We had a good example of this here at the church last night. There was a member of our congregation named Lois Dixon. She lives in an apartment building fairly close by. And last week, there was a man from Africa who was visiting his family here in the United States, and he's going to be here for a few months. And he noticed she was leaving, and she told him she was going to church. Last night, he asked if he could come along to church. And so she brought him to church. His name is Kwame, and he showed up with her, and he was carrying his Bible. Here's a guy from halfway around the world who had the presence of mind to realize that if I'm leaving home for an extended period, I want my Word with me. I want my soil with me so I can continue growing, even though I'm going on a long stay with someone else. So here he was with his Bible in a congregation of people that were so different from him, but he understood the principle, I've got to stay connected. And I need to be in the Word of God. What a wise man he is, because he brought the Word and he sought out Christians in order to keep growing. You will want to do the same thing as you get older in life and as you kind of separate from your parents physically and go about your tasks. You got to stay in the soil to keep growing. Now let's take a look at one other aspect of this plant. And the plant looks beautiful. Looks great. It's green. Seems to be doing fine. Except I'm fooling you. This plant is actually suffering. I haven't watered this plant in a while. I intentionally kind of made it thirsty so it would fall over for illustrative purposes today. And the reason, oh, come on, I'm not that cruel. Come on, come on. The plant will get some water after the service today. All right, I'm not killing the plant. I'm just stressing it a little bit. Sorry, I hurt your feelings. You're supposed to talk to your plants, that kind of thing. I don't do it, sorry. Anyway, it will get some water, but for now, it's hurting. Because, you know, as tough as a cactus is, it's not indestructible. It's got to have water. Cacti don't just grow in dry ground without any water. In fact, no plant survives without water. In the text, it says, that. We are to continue rooted. And then it says, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. I would like for you to consider the water that your plant needs and that the water that your spirit needs, okay, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, Jesus said something about that. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. You know when they received the Spirit? It was at Pentecost, that day that we celebrate today, when the Spirit of God came with physical signs, the wind, the speaking in tongues. And the people who received the Spirit of God had a source of spiritual strength and life that was divine. You have been given the Spirit of God too. In your baptism, God invested you with his Spirit. But I'll tell you something. You need to keep asking God to fill you up. Invite the Spirit of God to dwell in you. There'll be times in life where you're going to feel down or depressed. There's going to be times when you feel tempted and really stressed in your faith. There's going to be times when you're persecuted and harassed by somebody that doesn't like you because you're a Christian. You need the Spirit of God. And pray that God gives you his Spirit so that you're strong, so that you're revitalized. It's like water. It is like life to you. And you will need the Spirit of God. So remember it. Whenever your cactus starts looking a little dry, a little droopy, you give it water. Whenever you start feeling a little dry, a little droopy, you need to pray for the Spirit of God again to fill you up. Now, there's one last thought here in this text. And it says, as you receive Jesus, you're rooted, you get built up in him, strengthened in faith through the Spirit. And the last thought it has here is overflowing with thankfulness. Now, you might think that a cactus has a hard job. And it does. I mean, hey, this thing grows in really nasty soil, not a lot of nutrients there. And it's got to work hard. And when it rains, it's got to suck up every drop it can. It's got to store it for a long time. So, you know, the cactus can't really mess around. It's got to do its job well if it's expected to survive long term. However, it still has some extra energy to produce something beautiful. It can actually make flowers. Who would have thought that something that has such hard work can actually make flowers? I would like for you to think, when you see your cactus, eventually your cactus is going to get big enough and it's going to be in the right conditions that it's going to start popping out little flowers. I would like for you to think of those flowers as the thank yous. And in your life, you're going to get the opportunities as well to have thank yous for God. You're going to show thank you to God by your gifts that you give in offerings. You're going to say thank you to God by someday having children, maybe, if it's his will, and raising those children to follow suit in the faith. You're going to have a chance to say thank you to God in your prayers, and maybe you'll be a person who plays Christian music around their house or on their iPod, whatever, and that, and you'll be able to praise God in singing. You're going to have opportunities to share your faith with other people and say thank you to God by trying to pass along Jesus to somebody else. Those are like the flowers. And even though it might not always be easy, and even though God might challenge you in that, you're going to get your chances to do beautiful things for the name of Jesus. And that's going to be a thank you to God. So I hope you enjoy your little cactus, because your cactus is going to remind you of these things. It's going to remind you that you are far more important than a cactus to God. It's going to remind you, you better stay grounded in the Word of God no matter where you go if you want to stay alive. And it's also going to remind you, you better get some water once in a while. You better have the Spirit of God if you want your faith to stay vibrant. And then, of course, you'll think, how can I produce a flower for the Lord? Amen.